And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Happy Super Tuesday to you. I would love to spend the entire hour talking about Super Tuesday and voting and who you should vote for, who you should not vote for, but that is not what we are here to do. What we are going to do today is talk about life, and we're going to talk about pro-life issues that are going on around the country, that are going on here in the state, that are happening, and things that we need to be talking about. So the theme of today's show, I think, is going to be narrative. So a lot of times I talk about the narrative that is going on around the country in terms of pro-choice advocates and abortion advocates. And today what I want to do is talk about how we change that narrative and what do we need to do to change that narrative, and what are some resources and things that we can do to see that narrative change. So what I want to do right now is simply first talk about Hope Resource Center. That is where I work. That is why I'm here every single week, is because of Hope Resource Center. So some of you may be really familiar with Hope Resource Center. Others, maybe you're like, well, what? I don't even know what that is, and who's this guy that's talking about Hope? So what I want to do is give you a breakdown of what Hope Resource Center is, why it came to be, and how it kind of started back in 1997. So in 1997, there was a man here in Knoxville that went to a Promise Keepers convention in Knoxville. And at that convention, he told me, he said it was like God himself said, you need to do something about abortion in this community. Now this man is a businessman in town. He's a developer. He's worked in business and done a lot of things. And he just didn't really understand, well, why me? Why am I having to get involved in this? And so what happened was he went home and he told his wife. He said, look, I was at this convention and I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart that I need to do something about abortion in this community. And so his wife looked at him like he was kind of crazy, but said, well, if you feel like that's what God is telling you, then let's run with it. So what this gentleman did is he got some other people together and he said, we need to do something about abortion in this community. And his thought was, we need to have a pro-life medical clinic in Knoxville. And so what he did was he got some people together and they flew out to Seattle where there already was a pro-life clinic that is doing a lot of the medical things that he wanted to learn about. So he went to Seattle, then he went to Oregon, and he met with the CEOs and directors at those places and kind of got the model. And so he came back and he said, this is what we're going to do. So what he then did was he looked for property in Knoxville that was close to an abortion clinic. And he found a place on Painter Avenue, and it was just a hill that looked over an abortion clinic. And everyone said, you know, that hill is, you can't develop that. You can't build on that. It's really a horrible piece of ground. Why in the world would you want it? And he thought, well, I'm a developer and I'm a builder and I'm going to make this work. So what he did was he purchased, with the help of some others, they purchased the land and they built Hope Resource Center. They built this building. And this building was going to be a place where life would be celebrated, men and women would be served and loved and cared for, and then what he did was he had a meeting with the director of the abortion clinic across the road, and he looked at her and he said, we are not going to protest you, we are not going to be hateful, we are not going to be bitter, we are going to be good neighbors, but I want you to know that we are after the same people. The same broken people in this community. 15, and then hear this number. 88% of those that came into Hope Resource Center and had an ultrasound, 88% of those ended up choosing life. Now, a lot of times people will say, well, do you have any statistics that show that ultrasounds actually change the minds of your patients? Or are there any studies out there? And my best answer to that is there are pro-life studies that will tell you ultrasounds certainly change people's minds. And life is chosen because of an ultrasound. And then there are pro-choice studies that say ultrasounds have no impact on what is happening and what choice a female may make, whether she chooses to have the baby or not. And again, both of those, pro-life and pro-choice, obviously are going to have an agenda that they want to push. What I can tell you is what we see at Hope Resource Center. And what we saw at Hope Resource Center in 2015 was 88% of those that had an ultrasound chose life. So what I can tell you without hesitation, ultrasounds absolutely impact. Ultrasounds absolutely save lives. So they're important. And that's why we are fully medical at Hope Resource Center. And I think it's important that we don't miss that. And here in a little while, I'm going to walk through how we change the narrative and how we impact the culture. But I think it's important that we do not miss that there are pro-life clinics everywhere doing this type of work. And when I talk about material assistance, maybe you're listening and you're saying, well, what is material assistance? That doesn't make any sense. We throw 40 to 50 baby showers every single year. That's baby showers that a lot of these folks will not get anywhere else. 40 to 50 baby showers every single year through, and we're able to do that because churches and individuals and businesses are giving items, and they're giving brand new items, car seats, pack and plays, bathtubs, diapers, diaper bags, and the list goes on and on. Clothes, I mean, a number of different things. So we can throw baby showers for these people every single year. And again, I think it's important that as we talk through this and as we look at what is going on around us, and as people want to paint us as hateful or extreme because we're pro-life, we need to then engage with them and say, well, let me show you what some of these clinics are doing, some of these pro-life clinics are doing around the country. Let me show you what some of these pro-life clinics are doing right here in our own community. You know, maybe we need to get involved with those pro-life clinics in our community. So I think it's important. And then from there, what we have is we have story after story after story where patients come in and their lives, they're in one of the deepest valleys they've ever seen. And after they meet with our staff at Hope Resource Center, they have a clearer understanding of what's in front of them. And they know that they're not in this alone. And they know that they are loved and that someone is willing to stand with them. And I've told stories like this before, but a story like the one where a woman comes in our office and she's shocked to find that she's pregnant. And then she tells our nurse, she says, you know, this isn't how I expected it to go. I recently broke up with my boyfriend, so we're not even together, and now I'm finding out that I'm pregnant with his child. And, you know, we walked her through the process and said, you know, there's three options in front of you. You can choose to parent, you can choose to terminate, or you can choose adoption. And regardless of what your choice is, your life will never be the same. And so we walked her through that. And we had conversation with her. Had a conversation with her about what she needed to do, what her thoughts were, what kind of emotions she was feeling at that time. And she told us, she said, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. My friends are telling me that I'm so early that it's not really a baby, so I need to have an abortion. My friends are telling me that it's just a blob of cells. My friends are telling me it's not a baby inside of me. So if I'm going to have an abortion, now is the time to do that. And then we said our piece and told her what was inside of her and talked to her about that. Then she came back a week later, and she had someone with her. And it was her ex-boyfriend. And she told us, she said, you know, I called my ex-boyfriend to say, I need you to go with me to get an abortion. And my ex-boyfriend said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put our differences aside and we're going to parent this child. And then we watched as two exes get together and see an ultrasound image of their baby. And they know it's going to be an uphill climb, but they are going to stand together and choose life. That is why we open our doors at Hope Resource Center. We'll be back with more in a sec.
Yet whenever the clock strikes midnight, you will find me all alone.
And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. You're listening to us talk about life. And as we walk through this process, and as we the theme of today's show is the narrative and what that means. And so why do we want to engage? Why do we want to get involved in the narrative of the day? Why do we want to debate with folks? Why do we want to have those conversations? And ultimately, the goal is to see life celebrated. So I spent a great deal of time discussing here and other places the narrative of our day, a narrative that is destructive to the pro-life movement. It is this narrative that has brought us to where we are today in our society, a society, mind you, that participates in about 3,000 abortions every single day. Now let that number sink in, 3,000 abortions every single day. This is offensive, but it is true and legal. This is why we, pro-lifers, have an uphill battle ahead of us. We can argue and debate until we are blue in the face, but the pro-choice advocate can always look at us and simply say, abortion is legal. This breaks my heart, but this is the world we live in. This may be the world we live in, but how do we change the narrative? How do we change and charge uphill and capture the hearts and minds of people? I don't have all the answers, but I think I can assist in this charge. And I hope this may help us see the narrative start to shift towards life and the celebration of it. So let me start by providing another narrative for us to digest and pitch to the populace. This is a narrative of love, service, care, and women's health. Now, pro-choice advocates will label this as extreme language. I know, but it's language that will change the world we live in. Notice I listed and I discussed women's health as part of our pitch. Now, why would I do that? I offer this because pro-choice advocates have stolen this phrase. Women's health for them is a code word for abortion. They wrap their views in a not-so-pretty package with a large women's health bow on it. When we spend time attacking the abortion on demand lobby, they claim we are attacking women's health. When we seek to offer up legislation to restrict abortion, they claim we are attacking women's health. When we attempt to engage in the debate and have thought-provoking discussions on life, they claim we are seeking to take away a woman's right to health care. They are consistent in their attack on our pro-life stance, and frankly, they have found success in doing this. We have been labeled extreme, women haters, backwoods, foolish, ignorant, and right-wing for our stances. Now, I don't believe any of these labels are true, but many of them have stuck and tarnished those that stand for life. Although it is true we have been losing the narrative, I'm hopeful for what the future holds. I believe we have a message that will resonate with a large number of people. This is why I suggested the previous line of thinking of love, service, care, and women's health. Pro-life, for quite some time, for many people, never moved them to engage in the broader discussion. Sure, they may put a sticker on the bumper of their car, purchase a certain license plate, or even vote for pro-life candidates. Let's be clear, these are good things that many should do, but these alone will never change the broader narrative. I love seeing bumper stickers and pro-life license plates. I love voting for pro-life candidates. These are part of the correction needed to see life celebrated, but we must not stop there. We must let our pro-life convictions lead us and motivate us to do more. Why has the pro-choice lobby been so successful in their work? The decision in 1973 to legalize abortion certainly spearheaded this success, but this alone does not deserve the credit. You see, they have found success because they have spoken out. They have engaged and gotten involved at a political level, a cultural level, and a neighbor level. Nothing and no one is off limits for them. They do not whisper their sentiments. So why do we? We have a message that is worthy of sharing with this country. We have a message based in love and devotion to those in need. We have a message that doesn't prey on the vulnerable, but instead serves the vulnerable. We have over 3,500 pro-life clinics across this country seeking to stand in the gap for the broken and hurting. These clinics mostly are funded solely by individuals, churches, and businesses. Many of these clinics are like Hope and offer pregnancy tests, ultrasound imaging, STD testing and treatment, parenting education, material assistance, and mentoring. I must note that most of these clinics also offer every service at absolute no cost to the patient. What a novel idea. A healthcare model with no burdens for the taxpayer. At Hope alone, we average over $555,000 worth of services every single year. Services that we are happy to pay for. Why? Because we love women and know that there are many in this community in need of assistance. We don't concern ourselves with their financial background, insurance status, or ability to pay. We simply love them, serve them, and care for them. This must be our new narrative if we ever hope to climb that very tall hill that is the pro-choice lobby. We must simply go to work. We must stand with pro-life clinics across this country with our prayers, donations, and time. We must seek to see more clinics open. This is how we change the landscape in front of us. Now, I realize that ultimately Roe v. Wade still stands, but the heart and minds of the American people will go a long way in seeing that ruling fall. We can be labeled a number of terrible things, but if we are actually getting our hands dirty and standing in the gap for the most vulnerable, both born and unborn, among us, then we will see the tide begin to shift. We have been quiet for far too long. We need to lend our voice, our wallets, and our time to this movement if we ever wish to see this culture of death transition to a culture of life. Now, I refuse to sit by while vulnerable women are preyed upon in this country. There is something better for them and their babies. There are people that love them and will meet them right where they are. They are not just a number or line item in a budget. They have value, dignity, and are worthy of our love. This is the messaging we have for them. This is the narrative that should be celebrated around this globe. There are millions of people that wish to see these women and their babies loved. And it is time for those millions to come out of the shadows and allow their actions to match their words. We would welcome you to join us at Hope, but if not Hope, please stand somewhere and boldly proclaim that life matters. Now that is how we change the narrative. Are we prepared to come out of the shadows? For far too long, pregnancy centers operated on side streets. Very hard to find. They really didn't want to have any attention because they were afraid of what the pro-choice lobby was going to do. Those days should be long gone. We do not operate in fear. We have a posture of victory because we believe in someone greater than all of us. And so victory has already been had. And so what that means is we engage in the narrative. And we have discussions with our neighbor. You know, I think back to if you ever watched Home Improvement, one of the greatest TV shows to ever be played, Tim Allen, amazing man. And so he used to walk in his backyard and he used to talk with Wilson, right? So you never saw his face. He would be there at the privacy fence. But what happened? What you saw was Tim Allen was constantly having conversations with his neighbor. Now, granted, they weren't conversations about pro-life issues, but they were conversations about family and about life and about the ins and outs of all of that. And Tim typically didn't understand any of it. But the point is, he was willingly going out and engaging with his neighbor. Now, what I'm not calling for is going out and seeking to bash and debate and be bitter towards your neighbor. But what is wrong with having a conversation about issues that are very heady and very important in today's society? There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is, a lot of us don't know how to do it. And so what we end up doing is we talk about the weather, or we talk about the UT football game, or we talk about things that ultimately, what I call elevator speech. So we talk about things that don't have a lot of value. And so what we need to do is we need to reach out and have conversations with our neighbors that matter. And if we do that, and if we're prepared to do that, then we will start to see life celebrated. And folks, just like I said earlier, there are millions in the shadows that need to come out and start celebrating life. There are so many people that are on our side when it comes to pro-life situations and the pro-life movement. They're just nervous. And they're nervous because the pro-choice lobby is very vocal. And trust me, I went to the March for Life in D.C. They're not just vocal. They are angry. And they're sometimes violent. And so I understand the hesitation. But if we come together and we are willing to engage in those conversations, then man, what change could occur? And that's ultimately what we want to see happen. So the narrative has been one that is ruled by the pro-choice lobby, and it has been since 1973. And so our goal now is to see that narrative change. And in order to do that, we celebrate pro-life clinics around this country, not just Hope Resource Center, but all around this country. There are clinics everywhere doing amazing work and working with men and women of their community, and doing that at no cost to the taxpayer, and doing that at no cost to the patient. Why? Because we love women, and we celebrate women's health. So when people say that you hate women and you're anti-woman, that's insane. What they're not looking at the whole picture. The whole picture is there are pro-life clinics that are doing amazing work, and so we celebrate that. We'll be back to talk more in just a sec.
Darling,
we're back. This is Andrew Wood. Thanks for listening today on this Super Tuesday. Some of you may be on your way to the polls. Some of you were like me and you voted early, and you can just kick back and go home this evening, and you don't have to worry about it. But either way, you need to vote. Voting is important. A buddy of mine just sent out a message and said, "Does anyone else get chills when they go and vote because of the absolute freedom that we have to do that?" So take advantage of it. Some places in this world you don't have that ability. So enjoy it. Go vote. And I'm not even going to tell you who to vote for. That'll be for another show. But I have received a lot of texts today about my opinion. So a lot of folks are voting. People that normally don't reach out and that normally do not vote. So I'm expecting record turnout, especially with the Republican primary across the country. It's going to be an interesting night for sure. So what we've been talking about is the narrative across the country of the pro-life movement. So I think first what we need to do is, what is pro-life? How do we define that? What does that mean? So to me, pro-life doesn't stop at the womb. So if you are pro-life, it's not simply pro-baby. A lot of people, that is what matters to them. Well, that baby should have a chance at living, so we're going to be pro-life. But they tend to neglect the mom that is carrying that baby and that finds herself in crisis. So it's more than lip service. It's more than a bumper sticker. Pro-life should be our identity. If we are getting the opportunity to breathe every single day. Do you realize that even those that argue with us, we're given the opportunity to live. Now, isn't that funny? It's kind of like folks that I used to argue when I was in school that uniforms in schools were that was a terrible idea. We shouldn't have to wear uniforms. And now that I'm a dad, I'm like, yeah, maybe they should wear uniforms. It's the same thing. People that are pro-choice and they lobby for abortion, we're given the opportunity to breathe and have life. That's the common denominator between all of us, pro-life or pro-choice. We all had the opportunity to live. So it is time for us to stand and truly stand for what is pro-life. So it doesn't stop at the womb. It absolutely penetrates the womb, but then it comes out from there. I do believe we are truly on the cusp of something great. More young people are standing for life than in any time in history. The March for Life in D.C., thousands and thousands came together to stand in a blizzard for life. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, religious people, non-religious people, all kinds of different folks standing together for life. So we must do the same. We must engage. Life is not a political issue. So many people, when you bring up the life issue, they'll say, well, that's about politics, and I don't want to talk politics. Now, I'm kind of weird. I really enjoy talking about things that people don't want to talk about. Politics and religion. I could talk about that all day, and a lot of people have no desire to talk about those things. But we have to understand this isn't a political issue. This is a gospel issue. Politicians play a role, but that's all they play. It's just a minor role. And this issue will define my generation. So right now we have millennials that everyone's trying to court millennials. You have CEOs and businesses trying to figure out, how do we reach millennials? How do we tap into what they know? And then you have political candidates trying to tap into millennials. Bernie Sanders trying to tap into millennials. Hillary Clinton trying to tap into millennials. Trump. And the list goes on and on. Everyone's trying to figure out, how do we reach millennials? Well, guess what, folks? A large part of millennials are pro-life. Well, why is that? Why are they pro-life? It's because we have the internet, and it's easy to see what is inside of a woman. It's easy to see an ultrasound image, and it's not a lie. It's easy to see that on the internet. So we can then look at that and say, well, that absolutely is life. Did you know that around 56 million babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade in 1973? Again, that's 3,000 every single day. 40-plus million worldwide every single year are aborted. So around a million every year in the U.S., but 40-plus million abortions every year around the world. Does that make you cringe? Does that bother you? Does that... Do you give any thought to that? Now, granted, in my line of work, I have to give thought to that. It's on my mind when I wake up and when I go to bed. I'm thinking of ways to impact the community and do more at Hope Resource Center. But do you ever give thought to that? That every day when you wake up and then when you lay down, 3,000 babies have been aborted. Do you ever give any thought to that? So this is why we must stand. Life has value and should be cherished. Now listen to this. God chose humans to bear his image. Out of every bit of creation on this earth, he chose humans to bear his image. We are image bearers. Even those you disagree with, they are image bearers and they have value. So that should matter to us. It certainly should matter to Christians. This means all people are worthy of love. And that includes the unborn. So our question must be, our questions must be this. Does our love penetrate the womb? And then you ask this, does our gospel penetrate the womb? And does, frankly, the Constitution and Declaration of Independence penetrate the womb? The words of our Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, does that penetrate the womb? And notice that the first word is life. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I've said this before, that Gaither Vocal Band has an amazing song where they talk about freedom. And they say that even a baby begins by fighting for its freedom when it's coming out of the womb. If you ever seen a delivery, you know that's true. And my last child was really fighting, and it was a pretty good battle between her and my wife, and Evelyn won and came on out. So, but life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those are questions that we need to be asking. How far does it go? Do we stand for those that are in the womb? Do we stand for that mom that finds herself in crisis, that dad that feels like he doesn't know what to do? His girlfriend has asked him his opinion. His girlfriend's asked him to drive her to the abortion clinic. His girlfriend has asked him to pay for the abortion. So how do we stand and engage with them? What about the young mom that comes in and she saw her family wrecked? She didn't have a dad in the house. She didn't have a mom that was involved in her life. And now she finds herself with an unplanned pregnancy. What do we do? What happens when that young lady comes in and she has no financial foundation, no money, no support system? The man in her life has left. Her family has disowned her because she's pregnant. What do we do? The easy thing to do is say, you can't have this baby. You should have an abortion. That's easy. I mean, after all, it is legal. The hard thing to do is to love. The hard thing to do is look at that young lady and say, you may feel like you're alone, but you're not. We're here, and we're here to help. You're not going to be in this alone. You know what? We're gonna help you. We're going to prepare you for what to expect. We're going to have parenting classes for you. And guess what? When it's all said and done, we're going to throw you a baby shower. You're not even going to have to buy diapers. You're not going to have to buy a diaper bag, a car seat, a pack and play. We're going to provide those things for you. And guess what, too? If you're worried about the cost of the pregnancy test, and if you're worried about the cost of the ultrasound, we're going to take care of that, too. And then we're going to walk you through the process of getting help from the government and going through the proper channels that where your baby can be taken care of. Then we're going to reach out and we're going to put you in touch with doctors in this community that celebrate life and that will love you and serve you well. We're going to put you in contact with them. And then we're going to follow up with you. We're going to follow up with you and make sure that you're okay. After all that's said and done, we're going to make sure that you're okay. You are not in this alone. That is what love is. That is how we change the narrative. That is how we see life celebrated. When we are willing ourselves to make sacrifices, when we are willing ourselves to stand up and say, you are not in this alone. We can do this together. That is when changes occur. So, So I hope that you understand that. Because in order to see anything change politically, in order to see anything change in the Supreme Court, we have to see things change at the local level. We have to see things change in our conversations. We have to see things change with our neighbors. Again, it's not beating anyone over the head. It's simply having the conversation that says, does life have value or not? Does it matter or not? Do we cherish the unborn or not? Do we cherish and stand for the young single mom? Do we stand for the young couple that have found themselves with an unplanned pregnancy? Do we walk through that process with them? You know, I've heard someone say before that the reason why there was so much outrage about Cecil the Lion being killed, the reason why there was so much outrage is because it's easy to love a lion that you never come in contact with. It's easy to show outrage there because there's our hands aren't dirty. There's no sacrifice in that to come out and say, how dare that guy go and hunt that lion? What's hard is standing and loving broken people. That's what's hard. People that will fail you. People that will make poor decisions. People that will say bad things to you. That is the hard part. The hard part is loving people that some would call unlovable. That's why so many don't stand for life, because that is difficult. But folks, we've been called to the difficult places. And so that's what we should be doing. So I hope you will. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about how you can get engaged, how you can get involved with a pro-life clinic in your area. Be back in a sec.
It's drive time.
And we're back. Thanks for listening today. This is it's always fun to be here every single Tuesday afternoon and talk about the pro-life issues that are going on around this state and country and globe. And what I've been talking about today is the narrative and how we are to see that narrative change. So what I want to do now is, how can you get involved? What can you do to get involved with pro-life clinics around the country, pro-life clinics in your area? What can you do? Well, first thing you can do is pray. And then pray some more, and then pray some more. Because what we need is someone a lot stronger and bigger than us to intervene. And so I would humbly ask that you would pray for Hope Resource Center, the medical staff, the entire staff at Hope, the patients that are coming in every single day. We meet every single morning at 8:30, and we pray over our patient list. Because we believe that we're not going to be able to treat them, love them, serve them without first putting their names out to the Lord. So that's what we do every single day, and I would ask that you would join us. We do that at 8:30, so you can join us at your house, maybe on your drive to work or at your desk. It's a quick, hey, just pray for the patients at Hope Resource Center and the staff. That would be amazing. We trust that the Lord will provide. You can also volunteer. At Hope Resource Center, that can be a number of different things, but right now at Hope, right now while I talk, we have parenting classes going on at Hope Resource Center. So you could volunteer. Maybe you want to provide a meal for those parenting classes. Maybe you're a nurse or a medical professional and you want to teach a class. You want to participate in that. You can walk through the process and we can work with you on that. We need mentors. A lot of our volunteers, that is what we're using them. That's their best use, is mentoring the men and women that are coming in our doors. And you may think, well, mentoring the men? Well, yeah, I have a few guys that have stepped up and said, hey, we want to help. So if you have a guy that comes in that could use mentoring, we'd love to do that. But we have girls, we have young ladies that come in all the time that when they go through parenting class, they are also paired up with a mentor. Some of those mentors are our staff members. Some of them are volunteers. So what we want to do is continue that. So it's hard. It's difficult. It's messy. But it's so worth it. So what a great opportunity. We have a volunteer application you can fill out. You just need to contact us. You can email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com, and we can get you set up from there. And then we'll go through the application process, and then we have a training that will prepare you as well. And a great opportunity to pour in to the patients. And the reason why that's so important is so many of our patients have been disrespected. They've had their dignity stripped. They don't even know what love is. And so for an opportunity, it's such an opportunity for you to step in and be that that person that is willing to sit with them and hear about their goals and their dreams and their past and it's all of that. It's such a great opportunity. We had a patient come in today that just really unloaded on our nurse practitioner. And the reason is our nurse practitioner looked at me today and said, I think this is the only place she could do that. I don't think anyone's given her that opportunity to really open up. And so our nurse practitioner did that for her. And it was a great moment and a great opportunity to hear from her and talk to her. So it's such a great thing to do. If you want a mentor, reach out to us. Another thing you can do is give. Maybe you're like, well, I'm just really busy. I have work. I have a large family. I have kids. I just have all kinds of stuff to do. I don't have time to volunteer. I can pray for you on my way to work, but I don't have much time to do anything else. Well, then you can give. Again, we are solely funded by individuals, businesses, and churches. We do not receive any state money, any federal money. So what that means is we are all of the fundraising that happens is going directly to impact the lives of this community. So if you want to give, you can certainly do that. Go to our website, investinghope.com. There's a big blue button that says donate. You can donate right there. Maybe you want to help with the baby showers. You want to sponsor a baby shower. You can do that financially, or you can donate items, brand new items, because these patients have gotten seconds and thirds in the past, and we are going to give them brand new stuff because they're worthy of that. So if you want to donate a car seat or a pack and play, something like that, you can certainly do that. Maybe your life group at church, your Sunday school group wants to do that. By all means, we would welcome that. So there's so many ways to get involved. But one thing I do want to point out is we are truly grateful to do this work. There are two abortion clinics in Knoxville. And that bothers me. And it should bother you. Two abortion clinics in Knoxville. And so there is a need for a place like Hope Resource Center here in this community, and there's places like Hope all over the country. So what I would encourage you to do is search and pray for what this means. Are you one of the millions that have been in the shadows and haven't really engaged in the pro-life movement? Well, then come out. Come on out. Come out of the shadows. Join us. Stand with Hope. Stand with a pro-life clinic around the country, because we are impacting directly real lives. People that you see at the grocery store, people that you run into everywhere, we are impacting their lives. And we appreciate all that you do, and we appreciate you standing with us. If we all stand and do this, I can assure you the narrative will change. We'll be back next week.
Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead. Down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting.